everyone. Welcome back to Who's There. I'm your host, Allison. If you're new here, thank you for joining us. This is a podcast where I talk to a new horror fan every week because I hope to destigmatize what it means to be a horror movie fan. Because most of us are just regular people who like the adrenaline rush of being scared for some reason, and here we delve into those reasons. This week, I'm sharing with you my conversation with the host of the Killer Mediums podcast and horror writer, William Sterling. We talked about how he had to sneak into Saw in 2004 to see his first horror movie in theaters, why he thinks the horror genre is so special and different, as well as his favorite horror books. He also told me how he came up with the idea for the Killer Mediums podcast and what his favorite horror trope is personally. Don't forget, you can join the community over on Patreon by clicking the link in the show notes, and for as little as $1 a month, you can get access to early episodes, a monthly newsletter, and more. I'd love to have you over there. As always, please take a second to rate and review us wherever you listen, and let's get into my conversation with William Sterling. Hey, William, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you? Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. Do you want to start by telling everyone a little bit about yourself?
Sure, I can do that. My name is William Sterling. I am a horror author, I'm a screenwriter, and I'm a podcaster, all very like horror-centric. I tend to stick in the realms of like popcorn flick horror, stuff that's really fun and splashy and, you know, blood and guts everywhere.
Awesome. So first things first, what's your favorite scary movie?
Okay. I don't think it's the best horror movie ever made. I don't think there are other scary movies that scared me more, yada, 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 all the disclaimers. It's Saw. I think I've told this story before, but growing up, like my parents were a pretty conservative household, not like book burnings or anything like that, but they just didn't like scary movies. So my access to them was really, really limited as I grew up. And Saw was one of the first movies that I latched onto as a potential horror fan. It was like, I have to go see this. I was in a broadcasting class in my middle school, and they had us do a project about Sundance, of all things. Like, pay attention to Sundance, listen to some of the stories of the movies going through there, like kind of glom onto one and kind of follow it as it comes up and gets wider releases and stuff. We got that assignment, and that was the year that Saw went through Sundance, and there were all these reports coming out of it being just so, so visceral that people were vomiting in the theaters and running out. I was like, oh my gosh, if there's a movie out there that can make people do this, I have to go see it. So I like petitioned my parents to let me go see it while I was in middle school. They said no. So I had to sneak into my first scary movie. And it was everything I could have ever wanted. The gore was on point. That twist ending had everyone in the theater jumping out of their seats and screaming. It was just so cool. I've been chasing that sort of a feeling again ever since.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that story. That's great. I think I was a senior in college when it came out, so I did get to see it in theaters, and it traumatized me. So what do you think of Saw 10 or Saw X?
It was great. I was so worried when they said they were doing like a prequel-ish thing, like going back in the timeline and resetting. And it felt like a desperate cash grab all the way until I was sitting in the seat. And then it all just clicked into place. It was so great. And I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah. Have you seen all the sequels?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Nice. Are you hesitant about Saw 11 coming out this year?
I don't know. I kind of have to throw my own expectations out the window at this point. I was so wrong about Saw X that I'm willing to just sit here and be like, I don't really believe in it, but also, sure, go for it. Show me what you got.
Definitely. So how did you first fall in love with the horror genre?
It was really kind of that idea growing up of that there is something a little bit taboo out there that can get you more excited than a traditional movie where you kind of know the beat points. I've always been really interested in story structure, like understanding how stories come together, what the different beat points are for like the hero's journey and the three act structure. Like, I was glomming onto stuff like that at a kind of young age, and it bothered me that I was able to predict most of the action movies and most of the other movies that I was watching as I grew up. Like, okay, we know that the action hero is not actually going to die because they have to take down the big bad in the end. So anytime I got exposure to horror, just the twists and the unexpected and the sense that anything can happen in these movies at any point was just fascinating to me. And I've been so hooked from it ever since.
Awesome. Do you remember the first horror movie that you saw in theaters?
Yeah, Saw was the first one that I saw in theaters. The first horror movie that I saw at all was Signs. I
Oh,
was at a
okay.
friend's birthday party earlier in middle school, and they turned it on without letting any of the parents of the kids that were there knowing what was going on. And it broke me. It was great.
Oh, that's so fun. So, why do you think that people who seem perfectly sane love the horror genre?
I think it's because it's so unexpected. Going into any given horror movie, of course, you can watch the trailers and you can like read behind the scenes interviews and you can shield yourself before you go in. But there are so many experiences in horror movies and horror cinema where you can sit down and hit play, and for the next 2 hours, you genuinely don't know what's going on. I had that experience when I went to see Midsommar in theaters the other year. Like I had seen Hereditary, so I knew Ari Aster kind of had this like deep malaise about his picture. So I was expecting something like that, just like constant dread, and it just threw me for a loop. James Wan's Malignant, you hit play on that thing, and there is absolutely no telling what's going to happen. And it's just fun. I just love that aspect of it so much, and I think a lot of other people probably do too.
I love it. That's great. I have to say, I predicted what was going on in Malignant from like the
Ah.
get-go. I was expecting a serious horror movie, and that was not what I got. I was so mad.
Okay, so I think that's what I meant was like the I wasn't able to predict the tone at all. I expected it to be very, very dark and brooding, almost Hereditary-ish, and then what we got was like sort of superhero movie-ish by the end. I don't know, it was crazy.
I love that you loved it. I wish I loved it, but oh well, we can't love everything. So Signs broke you as a little kid. What scares
Yes.
you in horror movies today?
Oh, what scares me in horror movies today? Anything French. So I've got a podcast myself called Killer Mediums where I have guests come on and talk about different horror tropes. And we'll talk about two or three different pieces that work within that trope in each episode. So I had a guest come on named Kat Valour. And she's amazing. She's a great author. If you've never heard of her, if you've never read anything of her, she's great. But she wanted to come on and talk about revenge arcs, which was cool because she has a book called Revenge Arc. So we talked about her book. We talked about the Shudder movie Revenge, and then she had me watch Martyrs, and she introduced me to the world of French extremism. And again, with not knowing what I was buckling up for, that thing went very hard, and I did not appreciate it by the end of the movie. So yeah, anytime people are talking about French horror films now, it's immediate red flag for me. Like I know that's outside my comfort zone. I'm gonna take a flyer on that one.
That's good to know your boundaries. Yeah, Martyrs was really intense. I don't know, maybe try Funny Games. You could do it in English.
Yes, I do love
So,
Funny Games.
oh,
The meta horror aspect of that one,
yeah.
again, surprised me so much that I was able to get past just the raw brutality of it and kind of laugh about the remote, like, haha, they're rewinding
I love the movie Revenge that's on Shudder. I think it's a
it.
great movie. I was about to say it's a fun movie, but it's not. It's not a fun movie. She's just a
Yeah.
badass.
It's so dark for the first like 45 minutes, and it is horrifying. But then again, we kind of click into superhero mode, and then it gets fun. Like, yes, these awful people deserve everything that's about to come to them. So sure, you grab that shotgun, girl. Have at them.
What are your favorite and least favorite subgenres in horror?
Favorite subgenre is meta horror or meta slashers, I guess. Just that idea that we can take these known beat points within our genre. Like we have so many rules and we have so many things established for ourselves that we can be self-aware of them and intentionally poke fun at them. I don't know. There's something about that that I love. Wes Craven doing it so well in Scream. I love the rise of Leslie Vernon behind the mask. That's such a cool movie in the way that they make good horror movies and also make fun of horror movies simultaneously. It's just such a odd line to try to balance, and I appreciate it so much when it's done well.
I love it. What's your favorite Scream sequel?
Favorite Scream sequel? I still stand behind Scream 4. Hayden Panettiere is amazing. The fact that they kind of took a break after three, reset, had some new ideas coming back in again, I felt like it just felt very alive again for me.
Awesome. So, do you have any favorite horror directors?
Yeah, James Wan, I'll forever love him for Saw and getting me into all of this. Again, Malignant is fun. And he's got a bunch of misses too, in my opinion, but on the whole, love him. Fede Alvarez with the Evil Dead series, Alien Romulus coming up. I like him being able to, kind of like I said in the beginning, just like throw buckets of blood everywhere and make it enjoyable.
Yeah.
It's a really weird, dark thing, but yeah.
Awesome. Great choices. As you said just a couple of minutes ago, you're the host of the podcast Killer Mediums, where you examine horror tropes. How long have you been doing it, and where'd you come up with the idea for it?
I've been running the podcast for a little over 2 years now. I came up with the idea for it just kind of as an excuse to get to talk to more people in the horror community. I had guested on a couple of other podcasts before, and just like without fail, it was always the highlight of my day, getting to talk to like-minded people and just like enjoy our hobby together. But it is very hard to get invited onto podcasts. Everybody fills up very quickly, and now I see how. But it was a good way for me to just kind of open the floodgates for myself, give people a chance to come to me instead of me coming to them, and it's been a lot of fun.
Awesome. What are some of your favorite horror tropes?
Favorite horror tropes. I am a sucker for twist endings. Anything that can catch me off guard that I didn't see coming, or anything that can make me immediately say, I've got to rewatch that, so that knowing the context, I can see all the little clues that they built in. I adore twist endings so much, and I think horror is such a great venue for it too. Having all that suspense and tension built up all the way through the movie or all the way through the story, and then having it just drop out on you at the end. It feels like we're built for them.
Oh, that's awesome. I've actually never heard of anyone referring to that as a trope, but it makes sense. Besides the end of Saw, and don't spoil what the ending is, what is your favorite t movie with a twist ending?
Oh gosh, that's hard. So we've got Saw. The Sixth Sense is a classic for a reason. I wish Shyamalan could nail it like that again. What else? Identity. It's an old John
Yeah.
Cusack movie where he shows up at the hotel. Yeah, that one stuck with me for forever for some reason. I don't know.
Nice. Have you seen The Village?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, not The Village, The Visit.
Oh, yes, that one too. The creepy found footage Shyamalan movie
Yeah.
with the older people, grandma and grandpa, who are yeah,
Who
that
are
house.
weird.
They are weird, right? Let's leave it at
Yeah.
that.
What are
That
some
one
of
was
your
really cool.
favorite episodes that you've recorded of Killer Mediums?
Oh, I've gotten to interview so many cool people. I talked to Paul Tremblay right as his book was being adapted into Knock at the Cabin, and that was just lights out for me and so much fun. We talked about ambiguity in horror, the idea that we don't have to have concrete endings and leaving things up for readers or viewers' interpretations, and kind of the magic of that when it's done well. I also interviewed somebody named Dr. Matthias Claussen, and he was so cool. He is from Aarhus University in Denmark, and he runs a group there called the Recreational Fear Lab. And their entire directive is studying why people enjoy being scared, trying to quantify what ways make us scared in a fun way versus what things make us scared in a now I'm traumatized way. What's the difference between getting scared in a scary movie versus being scared in a haunted house, like on Halloween as you're walking through them? They're trying to dig into the science behind all of that and how it connects to enjoyment. And just talking to him about that for an hour and a half was mind blowing. I learned so much.
Oh, that sounds really interesting. What did you think of the film adaptation of Knock at the Cabin?
I think they did their best with it. When I heard that they were adapting one of Paul Tremblay's books, I wanted it to be basically any book except that one, because so much of what happens in that book is cerebral and in the characters' heads. It's their thoughts and their motivations and having to sit with them while they're processing this horrific situation. And I just didn't know how that would translate to screen in any sort of an exciting way. And it just, I don't know. It felt like kind of a meandering movie, whereas in the book, there is no moment in that book that you want to put the thing down. It is high tension the whole way. And I just felt like that was a really big ask for anybody to put into film. Also, there's one point that there's a huge plot point in the book that I did not want to see on screen. And anybody that's read the book, you know what I'm talking about here. It is one of my biggest triggers. I didn't want to see them put it on screen, and they didn't. They listened to my thoughts, I guess. But then it just left the whole movie, like the whole third act of the movie, feeling a little bit shallow. And I was like, oh, okay, now I get why Paul put that there. Are we a spoiler podcast?
You can spoil it. I think I haven't read the book, but I saw the movie. But I heard that one of the characters gets killed. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. So.
The little girl dies in the book, and I was not gonna be there for that in a movie. I don't like watching children get killed in movies, but it just, I don't know, it took away some of the emotional stakes from the last act, and I see why they did it. I know why they did it. I basically asked them to do it, and then I regretted it.
Since you don't like child death, are you going to see Immaculate?
Okay, yes. I have a group of friends that I watch horror movies with semi-frequently, and they are all about it. They're excited about it. I know I'm going to end up in the theater with them watching it. I'm not necessarily looking forward to it, but it is solely because of that one thing. I think it's going to be a really good movie. I know what it's about to do to me.
Yeah, just prepare yourself. It was a really good movie, though. It's like one of the better nun movies that I've seen. So,
Nice.
yeah. So you read a lot of horror, obviously. What are your favorite horror books?
Ooh, tough question. That's like asking me to pick a favorite child. Right now, I'm in a big Stephen Graham Jones mood. He has a, I guess it's fair to call it a meta slasher series, My Heart is a Chainsaw, or it starts with My Heart is a Chainsaw. It's called the Indian Lakes Trilogy, but he just released book three in it. It's done now. And it's so good. You've got this main character who is obsessed with horror movies, like most of the people reading the book probably are. And she's just constantly working in this horror trivia. And she realizes in the first book that she is at the center of her own slasher film. So she's trying to pull from all of these movies that she's seen. And Stephen Graham Jones is brilliant. He's seen every slasher movie that there ever is. So he knows how to subvert what Jade is expecting to come and simultaneously what we're expecting to come. It just keeps you on your toes the whole time. It's a fantastic read, especially for horror fans.
Awesome. I have had My Heart as a Chainsaw for a few years now. I tried reading it once and I couldn't get into it because I did not like Jade that much, but I might give it another go. I'm also just not big into reading horror, but I've read a couple of things last year. So, yeah, a couple
Yeah.
books. But
I know a lot of people have a hard time with My Heart is a Chainsaw and just Stephen Graham Jones in general because he's got a very unique writing style. It's very, like, this might come across the wrong way, but it seems like it's trying to be very intentionally unpolished. It's very conversational, very kind of off the cuff as it's going. And I think that rubs a lot of people the wrong way. Jade is a hard to root for, hard main character because she is so obsessive about the horror movies. But I don't know. It once it clicked for me, it clicked, and I had a good time.
Speaking of picking a favorite child, which one of your children is your favorite? Just kidding. Just kidding. Are any of your kids interested in horror? Do you plan on introducing any of them to horror anytime soon?
Yes, so. I was listening before this episode about, I was listening to your interview with Angel from Voices from the Mausoleum, and there were so many similarities between what they were saying and what I'm about to say. But yes, I have a kid, or I have two kids. I have Craig and Sabrina. They are budding horror fans. I'll say that. They've watched some scary things with me. Like they are all about Scooby-Doo periodically and things like that. There's a spooky festival that goes on here every spring called Haunt Fest up in Athens. Basically, it's a celebration of all things Halloween. It's spooky vendors, it's Curiosity Expo, it's a haunted house, it's all these different things. So you've got scare actors running around the whole time. And they go with me whenever we go to that, and they love it. They'll walk right up to Pennywise the Clown and ask for balloons and all of that stuff. So it's an odd balance because, like any 2-year-old or a 4-year-old, what they like changes day to day, and they are violent mood swings sometimes. But the short answer, whenever they're into horror, yeah, they're into horror with me. They get into it, but they are very inconsistent beings at this age.
I think, did you ever watch Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yes.
That might be. I think you can get the entire thing on Vudu. So that might be something to show them eventually.
Eli Roth had a show that premiered on Hulu this past fall called Fright Crew. It was an animated thing. It was really goofy, but leaned really heavily into the horror stuff when it wanted to. And they watched that whole thing with me, and they binged it, and they had a lot of fun.
Oh,
But
nice.
yeah, scary stories. I've got to get them into that. I'm collecting my Goosebumps books for my youth again. We're
Oh.
getting that collection back on the bookshelves for them.
I love it. So you've also written a book called String Them Up about murderous puppets. Are you scared of puppets? And can you tell me more about that book?
Of course I can. String Them Up was inspired by growing up. We had an aunt and an uncle who lived in Birmingham, Alabama, in this like very old house that probably needed to be refinished a couple of decades ago. And every time we would go visit them, they only had so many bedrooms there. So they would make my brother and I sleep in their unfinished attic with my aunt's old, like, partial American Girl doll collection, partial like things she found at a thrift store collection. But there were just walls of dolls upstairs in that attic where we were forced to sleep. And for a family that wouldn't expose us to horror stuff early on, we didn't really have any means of coping with terror. It was all very raw while we were up there, but yeah, they would bring us up there. They would drop us off after it was dark and be like, make sure you stay in your bed all night, because if you start wandering around, like, there are floorboards missing and you'll fall through. So stay in the bed. And we'd have to just stay there with these creepy ass dolls glaring at us through the night. So now that I'm a horror author, welling my memory for story ideas, like, that was a big one. So yeah, I got to write a book called String Them Up, where man who is escaping a traumatic incident in his past moves out to a town called Hollow Hills. It is a sleepy town where nothing ever happens. And then all hell breaks loose and big things start happening. The deranged toy maker that has been exiled to the outskirts of town for reasons comes back seeking his vengeance, and all of his murderous toys and puppets are unleashed onto this town, and our boy has to try to survive it all, and it goes ways.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Thanks.
Yeah, I had American Girl dolls growing up. I watched the Talking Tina episode of The Twilight Zone when I was younger, and then after that, my American Girl doll slept in the other room for a couple days. So,
Yes, nobody remembers that one.
oh, that's the only one I remember.
Oh my gosh, that was so good. I've got that one permanently stamped in my memory, and I've got the one where they're the town. Like, there's a blackout and they get isolated from everything else and they all turn against each other and start murdering each other, and then it zooms out and it reveals it's like the social experiment being conducted by aliens.
Oh, wow.
I don't know, something. I know I just missed 90% of those plot points, but
That's cool. And you have another book coming out in August, right?
Yes. Very excited for this one. It is called Dead Men's Chests. It is being published with Dark Lit Press, who are like genuinely my favorite indie publishers going right now. They're so cool. Andrew does such a great job with everything. But they have a series of pirate books that they are rolling out this year, starting in May. There are eight books. The Kickstarter for it is live right now. It's called Darklit Sails, but we're trying to make pirate horror a thing. Yeah.
Nice. Awesome. Well, I will be on the lookout for that. Are there any horror movies that you won't watch or that you won't watch ever again?
Martyrs. I'm one and done with Martyrs. I experienced it and I appreciate what they were able to do. And I understand that it was wildly effective about what it set out to do. I just don't need to go through that a second time, though.
I agree with you there. I've seen it once and that's it. Have you ever had any noteworthy experiences seeing a horror movie in theaters?
Yes. So outside of Saw, that's the big one that just always stands out to me. Midsommar too. Less of a jump out of your seat and cheer movie. Kind of the opposite end of the spectrum with that one, but just I can't remember the last time that I was in a theater that was so dead silent the entire time, because I think everybody in there was trying to process what we were experiencing all at once. Because the promotional materials for that movie did nothing to warn us for what was to come for it, what was coming in it. So just being in a theater full of people experiencing the same shell shock together was a cool little moment. I don't know.
Definitely. Did you get to see Mother in theaters?
No, I missed that one. And I still haven't watched it because I've seen enough stuff on the internet where people are trying to explain what happened in the movie.
Yeah.
I
It's
don't know.
a ride though. If
Yeah.
you want to force yourself once, if you did Martyrs, you can handle this. And if you're gonna
Okay.
go see Immaculate, you can handle that.
Okay.
So
Okay. It seems so trippy though, and so high concept. I don't do great with high concept horror movies because I think I'm too stupid to grasp them sometimes.
I feel the same way. I did not get, like, apparently it's like a biblical allegory. I didn't get that. It was just a bunch of crazy shit going on. What has your favorite horror movie been that you've seen so far in 2024?
Oh, are we sticking with just 2024 movies or new to me in 2024 movies?
Well, I know this year hasn't been great for new horror movies in 2024 yet, so we can go just new to you.
Okay, new to me. Boo, 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 boo. Why am I struggling with this question?
Gotta
You
get a
asked it and I'm
letterboxed.
immediately. Can I say a TV series instead?
Yeah.
All right. True Detective season 4.
I've heard a lot of people say that. I do not watch that show, but I hear the season was great.
Oh, it was fantastic. Having Jodie Foster back in a thriller role as an FBI agent, it felt so right again. And Issa Lopez clearly has a knack for stitching together stories with these crazy twists and turns. And it is, I don't know, it was a breath of very fresh, very cold air in a TV series that I had loved season 1, and then season 2 and season 3 just didn't quite get to me.
Nice. What horror movie are you most looking forward to seeing in 2024?
Either of the Neon movies, and I don't know how to pick yet because they've done such a great job of telling us nothing about them. But Cuckoo, the little like 10-second teaser trailer that they dropped for it, I'm sold. I don't want to know anything else. I want that main character with the little butterfly knife, and I want the creepy thing staring at the end of that like split second jump shot. I want it. Whatever the story is there, I need it. And then Long Legs too. It
Yeah.
looks like they've got two wild and crazy movies on their slate, both just like with a vibe that I'm here for.
I think I saw the extended trailer for Cuckoo le last time I was in the theater to see Immaculate. So I think that
Oh,
there's
okay.
a longer trailer coming out or out already, but I don't
Okay.
know.
I think I'm going to avoid it.
Yeah.
That's my thing with trailers. I don't know. I like the surprises of movies so much that as soon as I can get kind of the tone of something, and as soon as it's got its hooks in me, I actively avoid trailers from there on out. Like I don't want to know any more of the plot. I don't want any of these scenes or moments or anything spoiled for me. I want it to be fresh. Same with the Aliens Romulus trailer. It was just enough that, like, okay, I could see Fede Alvarez. I could see the Evil Dead remake in those scenes. I could tell that they were going back to what, like, the core of Alien as a franchise. I'm good. I'm there. You've sold me.
I love it. I should probably watch fewer trailers. Oh well, I go see a lot of movies, so they're always there. And I don't like getting there late. Are there any horror movies that you love that people generally don't like?
Yeah, so I feel like I can forgive a stupid plot a lot easier than like horror Twitter can or anything else. Example off the top of my head, while we're talking about Fede Alvarez, the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I didn't think it was that bad. Was it a good Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie? No. But was it a fun slasher? Yeah, sure, why not? I
I
had a
like
fun
that
hour.
one. I like that one because I don't really like the original Texas Chainsaw. This one had a chainsaw massacre. So,
Yeah. It
you know, hey.
lived up to the billing.
Yeah, they didn't lie. If you could remake one horror movie, which one would it be?
Oh my gosh. I've been trying to decide on this answer since I listened to your episode with Brian McCauley. That was the first one I dove into. And I was like, I know she's gonna ask me this, and I don't have a good answer on deck. Okay, so prefacing this, I think my target for this is a movie that could have been good but wasn't. I don't think there's any point in remaking older movies that are good. Like, I don't think there's any point in remaking The Exorcist, right? That movie is perfect the way that it is. I want to remake the Resident Evil movies. Movies, TV series, all of it together. That is one of my favorite game series. It is so much fun when you're playing them, and they do such a good job of balancing the horror and the action aspects. And every single attempt to put it on film has failed spectacularly. And I want them to get it right. And I know they're not going to, because they just poured so much money into trying a Netflix series and a movie, and they both bombed. So it's going to be a minute, but I want it.
Awesome. I'm not at all familiar with the games or the movies. I have not seen
Okay.
either, but I can believe that. Have you seen Silent Hill or have you ever played Silent Hill?
Yes, less violent feelings about that. I think Silent Hill, the games, are really great as atmospheric horror. It is lots of long, dripping hallways, and you know something's going to come for you, and it just messes with you psychologically. I felt like the movies went a slightly different route, that they were a lot more visual. I don't know if that's the right way to describe it, but that's the way I'm sticking with. That they were a lot more visual in the way they approached the source material, but they also did what they were trying to do well, even if it wasn't what the games did well. It was different flavors for the same thing, but I think both worked. I don't know.
Awesome. Well, the next one's coming out this year.
Yes.
Tentatively excited.
Same, same.
So my last question is, if you could go back in time and see one horror movie upon its release in a with an audience, which one would it be?
Oh, Hitchcock's Psycho. The stories for it lined up so well with everything that sold me on Saw and everything that pulled me into the horror genre to start with. To be able to see kind of the birth of it there would just be amazing. Yeah.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for being here and chatting with me. Do you want to tell everyone where they can find you and your books and your podcast on the internet?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, my name is William Sterling. I'm on Twitter, X, whatever the hell we're calling it nowadays. I'm on Threads and I'm on Instagram. Everywhere it's at spooky_Sterling. You'll find the links to my books there. You'll find me posting about the podcast there. That's a pretty good, easy one-stop shop for all things me.
All right, awesome. Well, thank you again.
Yeah, thank you. This was fun.
That's it for this week's episode of Who's There. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with William Sterling. Thanks again to William for coming on. I'll leave links to where you can find his books, Killer Mediums, and everything else in the show notes. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Who's There PC. Don't forget to check out our Patreon. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, horror movie recommendations, or you'd like to be a guest, shoot us an email at whostherepc@gmail.com. Until next time, stay scary and never ask who's there.